Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Woman charged with filing false report assaulting officer. A 28-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly falsified an assault by her boyfriend and kicked an Odessa Police Department officer in the thigh. Candrice Lachey Landereth was charged with assault on a public servant, a third-degree felony, resisting arrest, search, or transportation, a Class A misdemeanor, false report to a peace officer, a Class B misdemeanor, and interfering with public duties and public servant, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported incident happened at 6:56 p.m. Sunday at the Acacia Apartments, located at 4755 Oakwood Drive, an OPD affidavit stated. Dispatch reportedly told officers that parties were calling on each other, and the man stated the woman, later identified as Landereth, was intoxicated. Officers smelled a strong odor of alcoholic beverage coming from Landereth, the affidavit stated. Landereth stated she had been drinking alcohol. She also had red, bloodshot eyes and slurred speech. Landereth reportedly told officers that her current boyfriend, identified as Solomon Saul, bit her on the inside of her left arm. Officer looked at Landereth's teeth along with Sal's. The bite marks weren't consistent with Landereth's statement, as Saul stated she had bit herself, the affidavit detailed. The bite marks were consistent with Landereth's teeth pattern and not Sal's, as he has a large gap between his front teeth. The bite mark on Landereth's arm was solid. As officers were reportedly conducting an investigation outside with Saul, Landereth continued to disturb by standing just outside the doorway, yelling obscenities into the public, as well as interfering with the officer's investigation. Landereth was asked several times to go back inside in order for the officers to finish the investigation. She continued to come outside. Landereth was arrested for a false report and interfering with public duties, the affidavit stated. As officers reportedly put Landereth in the back of an OPD patrol unit, she intentionally kicked an officer in the thigh of his right leg. The officer stated when Landereth kicked him, it caused physical pain. Landereth was transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She had four bonds totaling $9,500 and posted bail on Monday, jail records show.
This is Health and Wellness, Section B. This column is entitled Counteracting Stress is Key to Healthy Lifestyle by Jennifer Whitehead, Midland Health. The world is facing a historical event, something that society hasn't seen in 100 years. With the coronavirus spreading in every country, followed by economical loss and social disconnection, the body, mind, and spirit can be overwhelmed by the constant stressors, resulting in a plethora of emotions such as anxiety, fatigue, depression, insomnia, disconnection, and even physical pain. Feelings of hopelessness, fear, and distrust of others begin consuming every thought. Social distancing has left people confined to their homes and fixated to every outlet of information to stay constantly updated on the current events. They're always consuming, but never digesting the current stream of information. While it is good to stay tuned in to what is happening, however, constant stress will begin to break down the body's systems, leading to a depleted immune system and susceptibility to disease. Studies have linked chronic stress to diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and lung ailments. With times like this, it is even more important to focus on how to maintain our stress levels. Stress is the body's response to any action that needs a reaction, whether physical, mental, or emotional. Everyone responds to stress in a different way. It is this response that is vital to an individual's health. When someone experiences a stressful event, the body begins to react in several ways. The autonomic nervous system controls involuntary functions such as respiratory functions, blood pressure, and cardiovascular functions. The autonomic nervous system has two parts: sympathetic, fight or flight, and parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. These two systems together create homeostasis in the body. The amygdala, a part of the brain that processes emotions, signals the hypothalamus, the communication center for the body, that danger has been perceived. This danger signal can be from physical, mental, or emotional triggers. When the hypothalamus triggers the sympathetic nervous system, creating a chain of reaction of hormone production and epinephrine, adrenaline, is released into the bloodstream. This increases heart rate, blood pressure, and breathing becomes rapid. The body then releases glucose, blood sugar, into the bloodstream, elevating blood sugar levels. This is only the first response to stress, and all this can happen even without a person noticing. If this response continues to occur, over time the body becomes exhausted and oversaturated with unnecessary amounts of hormones. The systems of the body then cannot function properly, leading to a depleted immune system and a rapidly aging body. With times as chaotic as these, learning the tools to counteract the stress response is key to maintaining a healthy lifestyle and homeostasis in the body. Even if the world feels like it is falling apart, we still have the power to find stillness and peace within. The parasympathetic nervous system counters the effects of the stress response by soothing the nervous system and the release of hormones. This process is known as the relaxation response. During this process, the body can begin to repair the damage stress has created. A Harvard study showed that after practicing meditation for 8 weeks, 5 different regions of the brain had grown and increased gray matter in the brain. Increasing brain function throughout life is vital to maintaining a healthy stress response and the aging process. Through various practices of stress management, the body learns to respond less from fear and emotion and more from logic. The more the relaxation response becomes the primary response, the body's systems begin to function better. Finding peace during a world crisis might seem impossible. However, even now more than ever, it is important to stay calm and present with our body. If we allow the stress of the world to consume every thought and moment, the immune system will weaken, leaving the body more vulnerable to the virus and other diseases. The simplest way to elicit the relaxation response is to be present in your body and the moment. Turn off the television, phones, and computers. Sit down outside of your can, if you can, and feel your body in the chair. Feel your breath coming in and out of the body. Listen to the sounds. Look around. Begin to acquaint yourself with your surroundings and yourself. Remember, during this stressful time, what can I do right now? Worry only creates more stress. The more you come back to the present moment within, the more control we have with our reactions. When we are not stressed, we can think clearly. Our hearts find more capacity for love and patience for ourselves and others. As the Lifestyle Medicine Center, our mission is to promote health as a partnered approach by giving people education as well as practical tools. This allows people to feel heard and powerful in their own health care. The Lifestyle Medicine Center offers stress management classes once a month. Each class teaches new and exciting ways to approach stress and tools to use to counter the effects. Everyone encounters stress, but how we respond to it can change everything. Jennifer Whitehead is a stress management specialist at the Lifestyle Medicine Center. This article is entitled, MMH Patients Can Use Basin MD for Maintenance Medications, by Caitlin Randall. Patients needing maintenance medications may be able to use Midland Memorial Hospital's telemedicine app if they are not able to see their primary care physicians amid the coronavirus pandemic. Tassa Richardson, Public Relations Manager for MMH, said Basin MD can be used to assist patients with maintenance medications for long-term conditions such as high blood pressure, asthma, and diabetes. She said Basin MD providers can prescribe these medications as long as they are not controlled substances. They should try to reach their provider first, but can utilize telehealth if needed, she said. Patients needing these medications should contact their primary care physicians for direction on if they should make an appointment at their doctor's offices or use telemedicine services, Richardson says. The Basin MD app can also be used for residents who believe they are experiencing coronavirus symptoms. MMH has encouraged those who believe they might be infected to use the app or call the hospital's hotline, 68-NURSE, rather than going to the emergency department. This article is entitled, MMH CEO, Supply of Masks is Being Replenished, by J.C. Lewis. CEO and President Russell Myers said that as of Tuesday morning, the state of Texas has 352 confirmed cases of coronavirus. One of those cases is in Midland County. The patient, a man in his 60s, has since died. Myers said from the beginning they believe his case was travel-related and not community transmission. There are two other cases in the Permian Basin. Myers spoke during a press conference Tuesday about steps Midland Memorial Hospital currently is taking. In this hospital, we have persons under investigation totaling 15. Five of those are in critical care, and 10 of them are in the med-surg unit that we've cohorted separately for patients who we suspect might be likely for coronavirus infection, Myers said. There are 6 patients currently on ventilators. MMH has 44 regular ventilators and 37 single-use ventilators, Myers said. Here at our hospital, we are at a total census of 137 this morning, Myers said. That's about 51% capacity. We had 130 patients in our emergency department Wednesday. Emergency department has been down pretty significantly for a few days now as people shelter in place and are less likely to come to the hospital. The hospital has 149 tests out, with 7 results that have come back. Only one came back as positive. He said more tests were expected Tuesday and Wednesday as labs begin to catch up. Testing is ongoing, Myers said. We took a significant number of samples yesterday and set them off for testing, Myers said. We will continue to do that and the labs will catch up. But in the meantime, people who meet criteria must be tested and they're going to have to behave as if they're positive until the results come back. Myers said the hospital has received a very positive response to its appeal for personal protective equipment. He said many local businesses have offered to help with sourcing and have donated personal protective equipment. The hospital expects to receive a large shipment of N95 respirators this week. Our supplies will be replenished, at least partially here, within the next few days, he said. Myers also stressed the importance of blood donations during this time. While blood is not being used to treat COVID-19, other patients still need blood. He said Vitalant, the local blood bank, brought the bloodmobile to the hospital on Friday. 51 people donated. Myers said they are postponing elective procedures when they can, but there is still a need for blood. He said there is no change in activity for labor, delivery, women's and children's services, but elective procedures and surgeries, endoscopy procedures, and some others have been postponed. We are trying to keep people away from the hospital to preserve personal protective equipment, Myers said. We will return to normal activity in those areas, but we just can't say when as of now. He said that surgeons and anesthesia providers are working daily to determine if patients are moved from elective status, where they have time to wait, to an urgent or emergent status, where they have to have the surgeries. The auxiliary and other volunteers are working to sew masks and have done several hundred masks so far, Myers said. The mask will be used in a variety of ways and by people who feel they need to wear one as they move around the hospital or potentially for patients as they arrive if they're coughing or are in need of the mask. Chief Nursing Officer Kit Bredemus said that with N95 mask reuse, the hospital staff are following CDC guidelines on storage. We have instructions on how to dock, how to take off the mask and fold it onto itself for reuse. We are providing paper bags which allow the virus, or if there is any particulate that will dry. So by putting it in this bag, it's allowed to dry, and that will then allow the virus to not be spread from there. The masks can be used for 4 days if not visibly soiled, then a new one will be issued, Bredemus said. The isolated patient is in a room. There's a limited number of staff going in and out, Myers said. They're using that mask in that room with that patient, not wearing it around the hospital or using it with multiple patients. Myers said there's a growing sentiment among the medical community that more aggressively staying in place is the appropriate response. He said the city and physicians are working to strike a balance between recognizing the freedoms people enjoy and encouraging them to stay home. Should the hospital need more room, MMH West Campus third floor is a candidate for expansion, and there are a couple of other options that will be considered as well in a worst-case scenario, Myers said. We are not in a hurry to expand capacity at all, Myers said. This main campus has a lot of capacity left, but as we plan for a longer term and much worst-case scenario, the West Campus is an interesting resource. It has been out of commission as a licensed outpatient facility since 2012, but the third floor, as of about a year and a half ago, was in use as a long-term acute care facility. Bredemus said they are continuing to rotate staff out of COVID units and back into other departments. We are following CDC recommendations to rotate that staff out every day, he said. We try not to have the same nurse go back 2 or 3 days in a row. We also have our labor pool. We have several folks that are not doing what they would normally be doing due to our disruptions of service lines. So we are now using those folks to help augment labor on units. MMH has more than 300 physicians on staff across different specialties, Myers said. The hospital has a critical care medical director who works full-time with a couple of physicians who back him up. There is one infectious disease physician at Midland Memorial Hospital. We have one infectious disease physician who's really critical to assisting our doctors in managing the selection of drugs and then the management of these infected patients, Myers said. He said, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center has an infectious disease physician on its faculty who works primarily in Odessa. Myers said there are a relatively small number of physicians being relied on in critical care and infectious disease. We're inviting and encouraging the rest of our physician community to step into some of those roles, or at least to be prepared to do so if we need them in the future, Myers said. That's probably the most critical concern we have at this point. This column is entitled, Coronavirus Increases Virtual Doctor Visits, by Mitchell Snerman, Dallas Morning News. How will we get through the coronavirus outbreak? One important pathway goes through your smartphone and computer. Telemedicine, which allows doctors to consult with patients remotely, has emerged as a vital way to cope with the growing surge in the demand for medical services and to keep health workers safer. Providers are using virtual visits to screen for COVID-19 cases and handle routine inquiries and the chronically ill. They're providing effective in comforting people who are anxious about the outbreak, the so-called walking worried. Telemedicine also saves masks, gowns, and key supplies, which are in high demand for dealing with the pandemic. Patients are eagerly embracing this approach, in part to avoid going to clinics and waiting rooms where they might be exposed. Limiting face-to-face encounters also helps protect health workers and support staff who are concerned about their exposure and the possibility of scared patients descending on clinics and emergency rooms. Telemedicine is enabling companies to recruit badly needed personnel, including retired doctors and nurses. Even physicians who are isolating at home and recovering from the virus are able to help patients remotely. Can you imagine how much worse this would be if we didn't have all these docs doing telemedicine? Said Dr. Paul Hain, Chief Medical Officer of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. They're telling the appropriate people to stay home. Many physicians in North Texas are having to radically shift their practices. Last month, virtual visits accounted for about 1% of care provided by members of the Catalyst Health Work in Plano, which has about 800 doctors with over 1 million patients. Soon, more than 80% of their visits could be through telehealth, said Dr. Christopher Crow, Catalyst's president. We're seeing a 180-degree change in how primary care medicine has been practiced in just a week or two, Crow said on Friday. We're doing 10,000, 12,000 virtual visits a day on our network, and that number could double by next week. In some major cities, telehealth capacity has been overwhelmed by the demand, leading to long delays. The Cleveland Clinic had a 15-fold increase in telehealth visits in a week, and Jefferson Health near Philadelphia had a 20-fold increase, according to STAT, a medicine and life science news website. One expert told STAT the technology could handle the astounding volumes, but providers needed more clinicians. In Dallas-Fort Worth, leading players said they've been able to keep up with the growing number of calls despite some delays, but the pandemic has been spreading here later than in some population centers, and there are concerns about the coming surge. At Parkland Health and Hospital System, telemedicine volunteers have grown exponentially, said Dr. Joseph Chang, Chief Medical Officer. That's been by design. We do not have backlogs in patients waiting to be seen, at least at this point in time, Chang wrote in an email. Last week, UT Southwestern Medical School trained 750 doctors and advanced practitioners so they could do video consults. The local leader in academic medicine was doing about 300 virtual visits a day and expects that number to eventually top 1,000 visits a day. Texas Health Resources said more than 200 primary care doctors were just trained in telemedicine and will be boosting the number of virtual visits this week. The company expects the added capacity to be especially useful in helping patients manage chronic conditions and routine medications. Last week, Baylor Scott and White Health processed more than 74,000 digital screenings for people concerned about COVID-19. That led to 14,000 virtual consults. Baylor said within a week, it had trained another 120 clinicians to support the telehealth effort. My routine office visits have been cut in half, and I'm doing all those by telemedicine, said Dr. David Winter, who practices internal medicine, leads a large group of doctors, and serves on the Baylor board. This is going to change the way we care for patients. Baylor has an app, MyBSW Health, that has more than 400,000 unique visitors a month, and many use it to schedule appointments and message doctors. It's now available to anyone who wants a COVID-19 screening, which can be followed by a virtual visit. Baylor urges people to call if they're worried and to prevent overcrowding at hospitals, especially as the outbreak intensifies. To get a link to the app, text BETTER to 88408. Last week, Winter sent a patient to the emergency department for an escalating neurological condition, and he said the department was pretty jammed. We have to get the word out, Winter said. There are other illnesses besides COVID, and these folks need attention also. Teladoc Health, the country's largest telemed provider, reported 100,000 virtual visits in a recent one-week period. That was an increase of 50%, and more than half of this month's callers were first-time visitors. The growth trend has continued, Dr. Jason Tibbles, chief quality officer, said on Friday. In response, Teladoc has brought on hundreds of physicians in the past 10 days and built up its support teams. That includes adding more nurses to follow up with patients and coordinate with public health officials. In addition to the swell from coronavirus, there's been a big increase in patients who don't have respiratory illness or other COVID-19 symptoms. The normal things have not gone away, and a lot of people don't want to go to the doctor in person, Tibbles said. Teladoc, whose Louisville operations hub has more than 600 employees, conducted over 4.1 million virtual visits last year. That's up from just under 1 million in 2016, and management had projected 5.7 million visits this year before the impact of the new coronavirus. Virtual care will never be the same on the other side of this. We've talked a lot about the inflection point in virtual medicine. Forget about the inflection point. We've shifted the whole curve upward. Part of telemedicine's appeal is its convenience. At Teladoc, patients can access care at any hour, any day of the week. Last year, the median wait time for a general medical visit was less than 10 minutes, according to one of Teladoc's regulatory filings. Currently, Teladoc's website warns about extended waits. People are waiting everywhere, Tibbles said, but on a virtual visit, they're waiting in the safest place possible, likely their own homes. Telemedicine has been getting a big lift from the government during the pandemic. The White House Coronavirus Task Force has frequently talked up the value of virtual visits. And last week, the Trump administration expanded telehealth across for Medicare patients. For many years, Texas officials and medical leaders resisted telehealth to the state. Teladoc had to win many court battles to bring its service here. But Governor Greg Abbott recently took several steps to encourage more virtual visits. He directed the state's medical and nursing boards to fast-track temporary licensing for out-of-state doctors, nurses, physician assistants, and certain retired physicians. That will increase the supply of providers for telemedicine and in-person visits, Abbott said. He also called for an emergency rule requiring health plans to pay the same reimbursement rates for virtual visits as for traditional office appointments. That's long been an issue in the industry. One problem with the governor's order, it doesn't include self-insured plans in Texas, which is how many large employers handled their health coverage. In Dallas-Fort Worth, self-insured plans account for about two-thirds of revenue for many independent physicians, said Crow of Catalyst Health. Doctors are urging federal and state leaders to find a way to ensure that virtual visits are paid on par in all health plans. That's especially important today because local practices have moved more doctors and support staff to telemedicine, which is accounting for most of their business. These primary care physician offices are just like any small business, Crow said. If they're not able to get paid for telehealth visits, then they're not going to be able to make payroll. It's one more gap being exposed by the coronavirus that needs to be plugged. It's a big, big freaking deal, Crow said. This article is distributed by Tribune Content Agency. This article is entitled, More Big Texas Cities Order Residents to Stay Home, by Jim Vertuno, Associated Press. Austin. Several more major Texas cities issued orders telling their residents to stay in their homes Tuesday, even as Governor Greg Abbott continued to resist calls for a statewide order. Houston, Austin, El Paso, and Fort Worth all issued stay-at-home orders, following the lead of local officials in the Dallas and San Antonio areas earlier this week. The restrictions mean residents must stay at home except for essential activities. Generally, businesses, including grocery stores, gas stations, and restaurants, will deliver, and takeout will remain open during such orders. Abbott, who again on Tuesday urged Texans to stay at home, previously banned dine-in eating at restaurants and social gatherings of 10 or more, and he closed schools, gyms, and bars. He said he'll keep monitoring how well Texans heed the call for social distancing, and he hinted that stronger statewide measures could be coming, although he stopped short of promising them. Abbott said he was surprised by how many cars he saw on the road as he traveled to his news conference in Austin. "It is clear to me we may not be achieving the level of compliance that is needed," Abbott said. "I remain flexible in my statewide standard." Abbott also addressed calls by President Donald Trump and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick to quickly get businesses up and running again to help the economy. "I will base my decisions as governor of the state of Texas on what physicians say," Abbott said. "The primary obligation that we all have is public health and safety. If the goal is to get the economy going, the best thing we can do to get the economy going is to get COVID-19 behind us." 11 deaths have been reported so far in Texas, along with more than 700 confirmed cases of COVID-19, the illness linked to coronavirus. It has now appeared in 65 of Texas's 254 counties, with more than 11,000 tests conducted statewide. The vast majority of people who contract the virus recover within 2 weeks. It causes only mild or moderate symptoms for most people, but it can lead to more severe illnesses, including pneumonia. Abbott on Tuesday ordered hospitals to submit daily reports on bed capacity for healthcare providers to submit daily reports on COVID-19 tests. He said the state is seeing a massive influx of medical supplies such as masks, gloves, and gowns for healthcare workers. "Texas will be receiving more than 1 million masks per week by next week," Abbott said. "The state of Texas is competing with other states for supplies and competing with the federal government for supplies," he said. Texas also reported its first prisoner to test positive for COVID-19. The 37-year-old man is in medical isolation at a Galveston hospital, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice announced. The prisoner reported having a cough and shortness of breath while being held at a state jail in Humble, northeast of Houston. This is the obituary column for Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Carol E. Stovall. Carol E. Stovall, March 30th, 1936 to March 21st, 2020. Carol E. Stovall, 83 of Midland, passed away at Midland Memorial Hospital on Saturday, March 21st, 2020. The family will receive friends at Ellis Funeral Home Thursday, March 26th, 2020, between the hours of 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. Because of the coronavirus situation, no funeral will be held at this time, but a memorial service will be scheduled at a future date. A graveside service will be held Friday, March 27th, 2020, at 2 p.m. at Gorey Memorial Cemetery in Gorey, Texas. Carol was born March 30th, 1936, on a farm near Gorey, Texas, to Buster and Ruth Kaufman. She was raised a farm girl and attended schools in Gorey and graduated from Abilene Christian High School. She also attended Midwestern University in Wichita Falls, Texas. Carol married Jimmy Stovall in Gorey, Texas, on February 27, 1959. They were married for just over 50 years. Carol is survived by her two sons, Stephen Stovall and wife Valerie, and their daughter Caitlin of Seven Fields, Pennsylvania. Scott Stovall and his sons Bergen and Hutton of Richland, Washington, as well as many nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, please consider making a donation to the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. To place online condolences, please visit www.ellisfuneralhome.com. Estelita Stella Quiroz Davila. Estelita Stella Quiroz Davila passed peacefully at home on Sunday, March 22, 2020. Stella was born in Odessa, Texas on February 28, 1950 to Raul R. and Natalia G. Quiroz. Stella graduated from Odessa High School in 1968 and earned a Bachelor of Education from Angelo State University. She married Gilbert C. Davila Jr. on February 17, 1979, and the couple resided in Midland, where they raised a family of two. She is preceded in death by her father, Raul R. Quiroz. She is survived by her husband of 40 years, Gilbert C. Davila Jr., her son, Gilbert Christopher Davila, and wife, Selena Ann Davila, and son, Gabriel Craig Davila, all of Midland, Texas. Stella's greatest blessing was her only granddaughter, Camila Rose. She is also survived by her mother, Natalia G. Quiroz of San Antonio, Texas, sister Linda Nunez and husband Raymond of League City, Texas, sister Mary Lou Quiroz of San Antonio, Texas, sister Patricia Severino and husband Michael of Dripping Springs, Texas, brother Raul R. Quiroz Jr. and wife Karen of Stockdale, Texas. All services are being kept to family-only attendance due to the current requirements of gathering size. Mrs. Davila will be available for public viewing on Thursday, March 26, 2020, from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you please make a donation to the National Federation of the Blind at www.nfb.org/donate in memory of Estelita Davila. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Susie Patterson Murray. Susie Patterson Murray passed away March 23, 2020, at home in her husband's arms. She was born November 5, 1943, in Clinton, Oklahoma, to James Matthew and Geneva Lee Patterson. Her body lies in state at the Heartland Funeral Home at 303 Early Boulevard, Early, Texas. There will be no visitation. She is survived by her beloved husband, David Murray of Brownwood, daughter Suzanne Morrill and her husband, Doug of Burleson, son David Bryan and wife Lori of Midland, three granddaughters and three great-grandchildren. Susie was preceded in death by her parents, a brother James Pat Patterson, and a grandson, Nate Morrill. In lieu of flowers, families suggest donations to American Lung Association or Raglan Springs Cemetery Association, P.O. Box 294, Richland Springs, Texas, 76871. Online condolences can be made to the family at www.heartlandfuneralhome.net. Death notices. Amy LaBombard. Amy LaBombard passed away March 24, 2020. A private service will be held at Fairview Cemetery. Survivors include her husband, Donnie LaBombard, sons David LaBombard, Douglas LaBombard, Brian LaBombard, and Loyal LaBombard. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Odessa American on Wednesday, March 25th. Roberta Imogene Steele Clay, age 90 of Odessa, passed away from this life on Monday, March 23rd. She was born on Thursday, September 5th, 1929, in Manette, Missouri, to the late Asa George and Bessie Mae Steele. Roberta was a homemaker. She married Henry Gray Clay on December 23, 1950, in Monette, Missouri, and they moved to Odessa in March 17, 2012. Those left to cherish her love and memories are her children, Richard Lee and wife Betty of Odessa, and Patricia Ann Clay and husband Edward Bowers of Arlington, Texas, as well as six grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, as well as her son, Thomas Dale Clay, and her great-granddaughter, Caitlin Cotton. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Jo Ann Walker Willard, age 78, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 22nd, at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. Graveside services will be at 2 p.m. Thursday, March 26th, at the Long Branch Cemetery in Eastland County, with Aubrey Jones officiating. The family will be at Bailey Howard Funeral Home in Clyde from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, before the graveside at Long Branch. Joanne was born on November 8, 1941, in Fabens, Texas, to George Elzo and Minnie Pearl Walker. She was a 1960 graduate of Hector High School. She married John Evans Willard on January 4, 1969, in Odessa. Joanne was preceded to death by her parents, as well as her three brothers, Robert Wayne, Harold Dean, and Jim Earl Walker, and one sister, Judy McCourt. She is survived by her husband, John, daughter and son-in-law, Melissa and Dayton Neff, and grandson, Timothy Neff, all of Odessa, one sister, Wanda George, and husband Roger of Stephenville, and many nieces, nephews, cousins, and friends. Online condolences may be made at www.BaileyHowardFuneralHome. Natividad Alvarado Cabillo, age 61, of Odessa, died Sunday, March 22nd, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 25th, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Hector County Cemetery in Rose Hill section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Cecilia Ione Leek, age 69, of Odessa, died Friday, March 20th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. March 27th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Clifford Vickery, age 78, died Monday, March 23rd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This article is entitled, On Hold, Tokyo Olympics Postponed to 2021, by Eddie Pels, Stephen Wade, and Mari Yamaguchi from the Associated Press. Tokyo. The IOC announced a first-of-its-kind postponement of the Summer Olympics on Tuesday, bowing to the realities of a coronavirus pandemic that is shutting down daily life around the globe and making planning for a massive worldwide gathering in July a virtual impossibility. International Olympics Committee said the Tokyo Games must be rescheduled to a date beyond 2020, but not later than summer 2021, to safeguard the health of the athletes, everybody involved in the Olympic Games, and the international community. It was an announcement seen as all but a certainty as pressure mounted from nervous athletes, sports organizations, and national Olympic committees, all forced to deal with training and qualifying schedules, to say nothing of international anti-doping protocols that have been ruptured beyond repair. Four-time Olympic hockey champion Haley Wickenheiser, the first IOC member to criticize the body's reluctance to postpone, called it the message athletes deserve to hear. To all athletes, take a breath, regroup, take care of yourself and your families. Your time will come, she wrote on Twitter. IOC President Thomas Bach and Japanese Prime Minister Abe Shinzo met via phone Tuesday morning and they, along with a handful of executives from the IOC and Japan's organizing committee, agreed to make the call to delay games that had been reported to cost upward of $28 billion to stage. Other Olympics, 1916, 1940, and 1944, have been canceled because of war, but none have ever been postponed for any reason, let alone a renegade virus, that has accounted for more than 375,000 cases worldwide. With numbers growing exponentially, the Tokyo Games would still be called the 2020 Olympics, even though they will be held in 2021. The first time the Games will be held in an odd-numbered year since the modern era began in 1896. The leaders agreed that the Olympic Games in Tokyo could stand as a beacon of hope, the IOC said in a statement. The decision offers a sense of relief for the 11,000 or so potential Olympians from more than 200 countries who no longer have to press forward with training under near-impossible conditions, unsure of when exactly they need to be ready and for what. Thankful to finally have some clarity regarding the Olympic Games. A huge decision, but I think the right one for sure, British sprinter Adam Gamelli said on Twitter. Time to regain, look after each other during this difficult period, and go again when the time is right. One reason the IOC took longer to make the decision was because it wanted to figure out logistics. It will be a daunting challenge. Many of the arenas, stadiums, and hotels are under contract for a games held from July 24th to August 7th. Remaking those arrangements is doable, but it will come at a cost. There are also considerations beyond the price tag of the games. Among them, the $1 billion plus the IOC was to receive from NBC, the millions in smaller athlete endorsement contracts that are now in limbo, the budgets of the individual National Olympic Committees, to name a few. There's also the matter of the international sports schedule. Virtually all 33 sports on the Olympic program have key events, including world championships, on the docket for 2021. Perhaps the best example of what a disruption like this can cause would come from track. Famous Hayward Field at University of Oregon was rebuilt and expanded at the cost of $200 million to hold next year's World Championships. Now the event will likely be postponed. There are huge pieces of a huge and very difficult jigsaw puzzle, IOC President Thomas Bach said. But for weeks, it was becoming increasingly clear that pressing on with the July 24 starting date was no longer a choice. Virtually every sport across the globe has suspended play in the wake of the pandemic. The worldwide economy is faltering, and people are increasingly being told it's not safe to congregate in large groups, or in some cases, even to leave their houses. Gyms are closed across America. Holding Olympic trials in a matter of months was becoming a virtual impossibility. Olympic committees in Canada and Australia were saying they either would not or could not send a team to Tokyo in July. World Athletics and the three biggest sports in the United States, swimming, track, and gymnastics, were calling for a postponement. As recently as Sunday, the IOC was saying it would take up to 4 weeks to reach a decision. 4 weeks ended up being 2 days. The decision came only a few hours after local organizers said the torch relay would start as planned on Thursday. It was expected to start in northeastern Fukushima Prefecture, but with no torch, no torchbearers, and no public. Those plans also changed. The flame will be stored and displayed in Fukushima. Like everything else in the Olympic world, its next move will be determined at a later date. I'm thrilled for the athletes, Bob Bowman, who used to coach Michael Phelps and now works with other Olympic hopefuls, told the Associated Press. That's what this is all about in the end of the day, and really the world that gets to share their journeys and be a part of it. Now we can have a real Olympics that is healthy and fair.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American on Wednesday, March 25th. This is the medical advice column to your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Carcinoid syndrome treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, can you please give more insight into carcinoid syndrome? In particular, I'd like to know its symptoms and how it gets diagnosed and treated. What kind of a doctor would one see with that diagnosis? Answer. A carcinoid tumor is a type of neuroendocrine tumor of the digestive tract or lungs. In the gastrointestinal tract, these tumors are now referred to as just neuroendocrine tumors. They can produce substances that in some situations can cause carcinoid syndrome. This usually presents with flushing and diarrhea. Symptoms are most common with carcinoid tumors of the lung or when the neuroendocrine tumor has spread. The liver normally inactivates these substances, so it is when the disease has spread to the liver that people become symptomatic. The blood from lung carcinoid tumors does not go directly to the liver, which is why lung carcinoid tumors may cause carcinoid syndrome without liver involvement. Still, more than 90% of people with carcinoid syndrome have metastatic disease, cancer that has spread to other parts of the body. In the past, neuroendocrine tumors were considered benign, but a better understanding of these tumors has led them to be classified as cancers and treated aggressively. Oncologists with special expertise in gastrointestinal cancers are the ideal specialist to see for treatment. Treatment may be surgical, for example, to remove metastatic disease to the liver, or medical, such as octreotide, which inhibits release of these substances which cause flushing and diarrhea, and significantly improves symptoms in 80% or more of people with carcinoid syndrome.
This is the Dear Abby column. Husband carried on an affair as his wife cared for his mother. Dear Abby, my husband of 30-plus years cheated on me several years ago with one of his young private students. In our state, she would have been underage, but she was living in an adjacent state with different laws. I had just finished 6 months of nursing his mom to heaven. She had Alzheimer's, and he did very little to help. We had one of the few fights in our marriage about his affair, but nothing was ever resolved. I suspect he's still in contact with her, but I can't prove it. He has never apologized for his behavior. Otherwise, he has been a good husband. He is sick himself now, and I don't feel right about leaving him. Any thoughts? Signed, Not Right in California. Dear Not Right, under the circumstances, you are a nicer woman than he deserves. If you feel you should stay with him until death or recovery, I respect you for it. However, if you are one of those caring individuals who expend so much time and energy that doing it could hurt your own health, I think you're entitled to spend as much time as you need taking care of yourself. Dear Abby, a friend blew me off after a 35-year friendship. I've no idea why. Just a very hurtful, nasty message. Over the years, we had many ups and downs, but we've always made up. Now it has been almost 2 years since I heard from her. Last week, for my birthday, she tried to contact me, but I have her blocked. She contacted my sister and said she wants to bury the hatchet. I said, where? In the back of my head? I haven't contacted her yet, and I'm not sure I want to. She hurt me badly. I cried for so long. She was my best friend. I knew she wasn't perfect. She is the original drama queen, but we were still closer than most sisters. I would at least like to know what made her blow us apart. Should I contact her? My pastor gave a sermon on forgive and forget, but I don't know if I can do either. Signed, Foe or Friend in Illinois. Dear foe or friend, contact the woman and get your questions answered. After that, you can decide whether the estrangement is healthier for you than her drama. As to your pastor's sermon, I believe that while people should forgive, they should never forget. Dear Abby, we're a senior couple who have been together 20 years. My wife and I have a date night twice a week. I feel our physical intimacy melds our spirits and souls together. But lately my wife's new rule is, don't bother me while my TV programs are on. When I told her I feel her programs are more important to her than I am, she got upset. So did I. Nothing's been the same since. What's your take on this? Signed, Old Gulf Coast Lover. Dear lover, my take is that you should reschedule your date nights to ones that don't conflict with your wife's favorite TV shows, or invest in a digital video recorder so your wife doesn't miss her programs and you don't miss a trick. You can write to Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Jacqueline Biggers stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5, dynamic. 4, positive. 3, average. 2, so-so. 1, difficult. Note. Biggers stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun and moon in Aries. Happy birthday for Wednesday, March 25, 2020. This year, you will have more vitality and feel able to take charge of your life. Exercise has more appeal, and your spirituality deepens. Mid-year, you begin to reap the extraordinary fruits of your hard work. If single, old relationships could end to make way for the new. If attached, you will be more aware of how important it is to function as a couple. A Leo helps you regain equilibrium. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. You could caught up in the plans and desires of a dynamic individual. Be subtle when disagreeing with others to avoid conflict. Even mild-mannered types can be a bit aggressive toward you today. Tonight, give thought to improving your living arrangements. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Health is a focus today. Release stress and make your work environment more wholesome. This isn't the time to adopt a new pet. It could be aggressive or hard to care for. You might deal successfully in real estate. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. It's a day to pursue new sources of income. A friend gives you valuable financial advice. You will revel in creature comforts such as gourmet food, silk garments, or a fragrant bath, and have higher energy as a result. Tonight, visit or call relatives. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Team spirit is a must at work, and you reach your goals by fitting in with the crowd. Natural healing techniques and alternative therapies rejuvenate you. Converse with and listen to those you love. Tonight, spend quality time with family. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Be scrupulously correct in following rules, both written and unwritten. There is a grace and elegance to all communication, and you have wonderful conversations with those you love. You are anxious to retreat from large crowds and external pressures. Tonight, take the night off. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. A relaxed mood with relatives and patience with co-workers will launch your day successfully. Your mind will be active, examining all sides of every question. Logic and reason will rule. A neighbor becomes a better friend. Tonight, talk through problems. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. Issues that began last January-February can become important again. You are very dynamic and assertive, and able to accomplish a great deal. Exercise suddenly has greater appeal. Be diplomatic and resist the temptation to gossip. Tonight, take a long, hot bath. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Faraway places with exotic names beckon today. Your superb communication skills carry you forward professionally. Social events planned by coworkers can lead to a promotion. It's easier to meet expenses, and you'll find your workload lighter and more enjoyable. Tonight, return calls first. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Use care in making promises. Neighbors are friendly, but can be a bit demanding. Your sense of humor helps keep relationships smooth. Children are enjoyable company. It's a perfect time to plan a future with the one you love. Tonight, quality time with loved ones. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. Manage your time wisely and allow traditional values to guide you. Your mind is quick, and you are especially aware of a partner's talents. You will win love by helping someone close to you. Others trust and confide in you. Tonight, finish errands before relaxing. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Be considerate and careful of others' feelings. You may sense a change of heart coming on in love. Your psychic sensitivities are opening. A creative outlet is healthy. Honesty is a must. Look at a new income opportunity. Tonight, finalize plans with a friend. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. Ignore office gossip and get the facts straight at work before voicing your opinions. You will be aware of how important it is to use language with care. Don't make impulsive changes regarding your career. Tonight, catch up with an elderly family member. Born today, director David Lean, 1908, activist Gloria Steinem, 1934, singer Sir Elton John, 1947.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.